How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This is the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today it's me, your boy Jay King from MassLive.com, joined by Sam Jam Packard the Great, now formerly known as Jam Packard on Twitter. Solid name change there, Jam. I don't think I've talked to you about that, but well done. Finally committed to the cause. Finally committed to reigning Jays like the rest of us. We got not a lot of stuff to talk about today, to be honest. There is a report that LeBron James is definitely leaving Cleveland 1 year from now, which obviously will impact the Boston Celtics if true. We got a bunch of questions, mailbag questions. This is the depths of August, man. It's the depths of August. I've been on vacation for a while. Big news for me. Big news. I finally got a haircut. I no longer look like a savage. So I'm kind of proud.
Going into the season, it's going to be a new season, a new Jay King. Everyone better watch out.
Yeah, watch out. I look like an adult these days. I'm turning 30 years old, so I figured I have to look like an adult, man. I just have to do it. Let's start off with this Chris Sheridan report. So I can't remember the last time he reported any news, honestly. Like, he used to be at ESPN. He has a track record in the past of reporting news. I can't remember, honestly, the last time Chris Sheridan reported any news. But he popped up today. We're recording this Wednesday. And said that an NBA source told him that LeBron James is 100% leaving Cleveland at the end of next season when his contract expires. Thoughts, Sam?
A lot of different thoughts. It's basically, one, how is anyone 100% sure about that a year before the season's playing? Where did Chris Sheridan come from? Is this really at all anything different than from what we thought? And does this report really kind of change the dynamic of the Cavaliers' season? I feel like we knew heading into the season already, just with the Kyrie stuff and with the threats of LeBron leaving after the season, that the Cavs, it was just going to be a circus pretty much every single day with quotes and everything overanalyzed. I think this adds to it just because now LeBron's going to be forced to ask the question to kind of comment on the report. But one, I just don't see how anyone would like feel comfortable reporting that something is 100% like going to happen a year before the season. Like, what if he wins a championship and is like, what if something happens that just like holds him in Cleveland? It's just absurd to me that somebody would report 100% a whole season before a decision has to be made.
Yeah, I can't even say with 100% certainty I'll be alive next summer, or any of us will be alive next summer. You know, like that's a dark place I just went. but like
you went to the limit real quick.
I don't know why I went so hard. 100 miles per hour, 0 to 100 real quick. But really, like, so much can change in a year. Like, maybe they trade Kyrie for a huge haul, and he loves his new teammates, and everything is a lot better there. and they win a title, and he decides to stay. Like, how is he going to leave if they win a title? like if they beat Golden State, how on earth is he going to leave Cleveland? I don't see that happening. So there's a lot that can happen. There is nothing that is 100% certain. I mean, the NBA is just a crazy, crazy, crazy place. So I won't be surprised at all if he leaves Cleveland. I think it's very clear the dynamic is just rocky over there, from the Kyrie trade request to David Griffin not getting his contract renewed to just basically everything that has happened there this entire summer. Cleveland is not on stable ground. But, like, LeBron knows. He knew going back to Cleveland it wasn't going to be, like, the most stable environment he's ever been in. He went back to Cleveland knowing what Dan Gilbert is and knowing what the whole organization was about. And he went there because, one, you know, the reason he gave, which was that he wanted to go back home to Cleveland. And then the other reason, which I think was probably more important, was that they had Kyrie Irving and they had the number one overall pick, which they could trade to get Kevin Love. And so it was a great basketball situation then. It's going to be a great basketball situation moving forward. There's a possibility that he could go somewhere else and give himself a better chance of winning a title. But Cleveland, that's a really good place to win right now. And obviously the Kyrie Irving thing is, who the hell knows what will happen with that. They could trade Kyrie. They could keep him. They could go young, which apparently, reportedly, they want to go young and get a young star rather than an established star, which kind of shows that they're at least worried that LeBron James will leave next year, and they don't want to leave their organization in the same place it was last time he left, which is they were left with nothing because they had spent years and years and years trying to surround him with older vets to win championships. But I don't know, man. It's starting to look like it is not that his return is uncertain, but that he's unlikely to return. And for the Celtics, obviously, that's a beautiful thing.
In the East, of course, if he goes somewhere else in the East, he'll also be the main competition. But the idea is he's going to L.A. Getting him out of the Eastern Conference is ideal if you're the Celtics. And just the fact that this report exists, I think, is good for the Celtics. Like I said, there's going to be so much turmoil and so much analysis of, like, subtweets and Instagram posts. And it's just, you would hope, if I was a Cavaliers fan, I would hope to God they trade Kyrie Irving for some friends of LeBron James or some people who would convince him that this is a good situation. But I just don't see, if they, like, head into the year with both those guys on the team, how it's going to function. It's just, there's so much added media pressure, and it's just going to be chaos. And then you can throw in Kevin Love in there, who's not generally known to be like the, I feel like he's a pretty moody dude and gets, like, upset by the bullying of LeBron James. It's just, and he might get traded as well if they're talking about a full rebuild. All of this is just adding up to good things for the Celtics, who they finished better than the Cavaliers in the regular season last year. But that was kind of, the Cavs kind of trailed off. But any kind of turmoil you can add to the Cavaliers, maybe it means that they're not focused in a playoff series. Maybe it means they get like a 3 seed or a 4 seed and have to face a tougher path. Who knows? It's just stuff that's more problematic for the Cavaliers, which is good for the Celtics.
Yeah, I am. I can't believe everything that's gone on in Cleveland this year. Like, they were a couple of wins away from winning their second straight title, and then they just fell apart. Kyrie wants a trade and apparently didn't talk to his teammates during parts of the playoffs, which is insane. LeBron may or may not be leaning toward leaving. The GM's gone. They got a rookie GM now who obviously has like the most delicate situation of all time. And then you got the Celtics sitting, you know, in second position in the Eastern Conference. Just they signed Gordon Hayward. They're totally stable. They bring back all their main pieces with the exception of Avery Bradley. They still have Brad Stevens. They still have Danny Ainge. They seem to be totally harmonious, and it's just the contrast of the two situations is incredible. And but in the end, like, if you have LeBron, nothing else matters. The subtweets, they've had so much drama the last 2 years, 3 years, and they've always overcome it. They've always reached the finals, because when it comes to the playoffs, like, one team has LeBron James, the other team doesn't, and whoever has LeBron James almost always wins. You have to have a historic team to knock off LeBron James. And so that's why the Celtics should be rooting for him to leave, and rooting for Cleveland to collapse, and rooting for some Western Conference team to woo LeBron next summer. It is the Eastern Conference. Is the Eastern Conference, if it's not open now, it very well could be in a year. And the Celtics, like, they might have two top five picks next year to go along with all the guys they currently have. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are getting older and probably better. It is a wild time. And then Marvin Bagley reclassified. He'll be in the 2018 draft now. Guys are talking about there are five possible number one picks, five potential stars, real stars in next year's draft. And the Celtics could have two top five picks. That's not out of the realm of possibility. So Boston's still in a good spot, but just like it always has been, taking that next step is going to require more, whether it's development, like Jason Tatum's going to have to develop into a star to nudge the current group past, or Gordon Hayward's going to have to reach another level, or Isaiah is, or Al Horford is, or shit, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, one of those guys, or next year's pick. But the Celtics have put themselves in a situation where they've maximized their opportunities to get lucky. They have a lot of young talent. They have a lot of good players. They have a lot of chances to either by trade or internal development taking the next step in the East. And Cleveland is just crumbling, man. It cracks me up, because the NBA is just such a crazy place. You can be on top of the world. You can win a title. You can reach three straight NBA finals. And sometimes it doesn't matter. Your locker room can just crumble. It is insane how things go in the NBA. I love the NBA for that reason. But let's get into the mailbag. We'll start with the mailbag. I gotta find some of these questions, man. Where did I put these goddamn questions? All right, we'll start with my buddy Nick Graham. He said some basketball talk for us, some real basketball talk for us. Celtics finished 7th in offensive rating and 13th in defensive rating last year. What's the over-under for both those numbers for this year? Sam, you first.
Ooh, that's some random numbers to throw out there. So will they be a top 6 team in offense and a top basically 12, 13 team in defense?
I think what he's trying to say is, like, give your over-under on what they should finish for both of those categories.
What place they finish in?
Yeah.
What the over-under is? Oh, I can't do an over-under, so I'm just going to answer it the way I wanted to. I think there'll be a better offense. I just think the history of adding offensive talent to Brad Stevens' roster is going to pay dividends. Gordon Hayward's an excellent offensive player, can do a lot of different versatile things. He's a solid passer. He kind of does everything you want. And I just think another season of Jaylen Brown plus Jason Tatum, I think there's no reason why this offense wouldn't improve. I think the big question is going to be on defense, where you would hope that they had a better defensive rating. But you don't really know how the addition of Avery Bradley or the loss of Avery Bradley is going to affect that. You think Avery Bradley would be kind of a person who boosts the defensive rating, but it's kind of known that the stats don't really back Avery Bradley as kind of the best defender. So who knows? Maybe that this kind of versatile system of having 8 different swingmen play defense might work for the Celtics, but it means a lot of Isaiah playing defense on the main point guard, or it just changes up their strategy of who guards the main point guard, and maybe that's something they'll struggle with in terms of their defensive rating. But I think in a real roundabout way, I think they'll have a top 5 of offensive rating, and I don't know, that 13th is a really hard pick. I think they'll also have a middle-of-the-pack defensive rating.
I agree they'll have a top 5 offense. I think their offense is just going to be awesome to watch. I think There's so much passing. There's so much playmaking. With Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward, like, Gordon Hayward is so good, and he can do so many things. And what Brad Stevens will be able to do with him and Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford all on the court at once will be really, really fun to watch. It'll just – so many things will open up for those guys. And then I think it'll also be huge to be able to stagger those two guys. We've talked about this a lot. Like, when Isaiah Thomas is on the court, the offense is always really good, no matter who else is around him. When Gordon Hayward is on the court, it might be a similar effect. So there's a chance that they won't have those lulls that they had when Isaiah Thomas was on the court. I think there was one game they went like 8 minutes with him on the bench, and they didn't score once in any of those 8 minutes. So top five offense, I think they have a chance to finish like third in offense. I think Golden State will be one. I think Cleveland will be two. I think Boston has a chance to go as high as number three, but I do believe they'll be top five in offensive rating. Defensive rating is tough. The loss of Avery Bradley will hurt. I think they have more size now, which will be helpful. I think they'll be better rebounding because of the size on the wing. I think Aaron Baines will help their rebounding. The only pause I have in this, and it's a big concern, I think, if you're Boston, they have a ton of rookies. And rookies, almost by rule, unless you're Marcus Smart, are bad defenders. And that's just the way it goes. Like Jaylen Brown had some really promising moments defensively, but he was, on the whole, a bad defender. Jason Tatum should be expected to be a bad defender. You know, Brad Stevens has high hopes for Semi Ojeleye, but like a lot of these guys, and some of whom will be playing real minutes, are bad defenders. And then if anyone gets hurt, like they'll be going to more rookies or more youth. So I think defense is a bit of a concern. I wouldn't be surprised if they stay right around the same. I'm going to go with they finished 13th last year. I'm going to go with they'll be 12th. Also, last year I put them – I did like a bold prediction column in the preseason. I put them number one. I had them at number one defense, and I was an idiot.
So this is really a cool take for you compared to last year. 12th is a real, a real safe thing to say.
So they might finish like 20th or 25th. Because of me, man. It's all because of me. But yeah, I thought first, and then no, not first. So this question from Parasitic Day kind of goes with one thing you were saying. Given Al Horford's reluctance to start at center, and assuming Crowder and Hayward start, does Isaiah get matched up with point guards more often?
I think the kind of Isaiah on point guard thing was something that came up a lot more in the playoffs, where it felt like it really mattered whether or not he was on Kyrie Irving or John Wall. During the regular season, they definitely put Avery Bradley on the best ball handler a lot, but I think there's a lot of times where Isaiah also spent a fair amount of games just guarding his own position. It just wasn't as big a deal in the regular season. I think they're not going to be afraid to throw Marcus Smart out there. They're not going to be afraid to throw trying Jaylen Brown on some ones, Terry Rozier on some ones. I don't know. I just don't think it's going to be a big issue, but maybe you will see Isaiah just matched up on point guards more often. It doesn't seem like they have the greatest depth in terms of guard defense. They have Smart, Rozier, and then maybe Jaylen Brown. But if you're talking about the real fast point guards, it's really just Rozier, Isaiah, and Marcus who kind of, I think, would have the foot speed to keep up with them. And in that situation, you're just going to need a fast player. It doesn't really matter how short Isaiah is.
Yeah, I think, and this goes to Addie Shepard's question, at Addie Shep, is Jaylen Brown's defense or offense going to be a bigger factor this year, or it depends on whether he starts or not? I think Jaylen Brown's defensive versatility and how many guys he can guard is a big deal. Because you're going to miss Avery Bradley, how he defended point guards. And Marcus Smart, for as good a defender as he is, some of the guys that he struggles with the most are the quickest point guards or the most skilled point guards, the guys like John Wall and Kyle Lowry and Kyrie Irving. Those are the guys that he struggles with. And obviously those are great players. Almost everybody's going to struggle with them. But the Celtics were markedly better, I think, with Avery Bradley guarding those guys. Now, can Jaylen Brown guard point guards? Can he do it on a consistent basis where he helps your defense by being long and strong and athletic, and can he disrupt those guys? I think that could go, you know, a long way toward determining his utility this year, and whether he starts, and whether, you know, Isaiah having to guard point guards is a thing. Because like the playoffs, you can remember, like, the Celtics had Isaiah guarding Otto Porter or Bradley Beal against Washington, and they had Avery Bradley for the most part on John Wall. Can you do that? Can you have Jalen guard John Wall? I don't know. Like, that's a tough ask for a 6'7 wing who's really strong. But obviously Jalen's really athletic. Obviously he had moments last year where he was able to stay in front of the Stephen Currys of the world or other great players that kind of make you think that maybe one day he'll be able to guard point guards and do a really good job of it. But I don't know whether that will be this year. I don't know whether it will be further into the future that he's consistent enough to do that. Jaylen Brown, I'm intrigued to see how he develops, man. I have no clue what he's ultimately going to be. I know for a fact he's going to be at least a good role player. And he'll be tough, he'll be strong, he'll be athletic, he'll finish, he'll be a threat in transition, he can guard a lot of guys, at least theoretically. But like, is he going to become a defensive stopper? Is he going to become a pick and roll ball handling threat? Is he going to become like a low post scorer where he just ruins people? I have no clue what the future of his game will be. I don't know which direction he's going to go. Like, he's kind of like this lump of clay, and I have no idea how to predict what he'll ultimately become offensively or defensively. He's kind of a mystery to me. Like, there are some guys you look at and you kind of know how they're going to develop. Jaylen Brown, to me, I'm not really sure.
Well, the good part news is that he's definitely going to get a lot more minutes this year. Just because you think about it, with Avery Bradley gone, he kind of moves directly into the – he's going to get more minutes in the rotation just because the roster is a little bit bigger with size and wings, so they're going to need to play someone in that kind of that 2-3 mold, whether it be Marcus Smart, and I feel like he's going to get at least 20, 25 minutes a game. So we're going to be able to see how he develops. I'm still kind of questioning whether or not he can guard ones. I think twos is like the what you would ask him to do this year. I know he's shown flashes in the past, but to expect a guy to kind of keep up and play defense again, I guess no one really guards John Wall or Kyrie Irving. So, I mean, how much worse is he going to be than that? He is very long. But I'm with you. He has all the potential in the world, but he's one of the major question marks and one of the kind of more exciting things about heading into the season. But you're right. It feels like he could go any number of different ways, because there's indications he can be a very great and explosive player, but there's still a lot of things he needs to work on. And there's a lot of times where Stevens just pulled him out of the game last year after kind of careless mistakes. It feels like he still never figured out what to do on a 2-for-1. There's a lot of like mental things that you would hope a guy who's quite smart, he's very good at chess, you think he would kind of be able to limit headed into his sophomore year.
Yes, sir. All right, next question. We got one from Director of Cucks. I have a hard time reading that, but there you go. At Director of Cucks. Awesome. That's
the director.
Did your old man voice, this is directed to me, did your old man voice help you buy beer underage, or did your baby face create a hill too high to climb? I never bought beer underage. So I didn't drink at all in high school. I definitely made up for that in college, but I never actually bought beer. I never had a fake ID. I kind of just snuck into bars when I needed to go to bars. And yeah, I don't think I had a baby face back then, or at least like people thought I was older back then because I was big. I was a big kid.
So you developed a baby face later in life.
I don't think I have a baby face. I just think, yeah, I don't think I've ever been told I have a baby face before. Although I did get carded, went out to dinner with my little brothers, and I got carded last night at 29 years old. So
there you go. I just want to note, like, say, Jay, you kind of encroaching on my territory. This was a hashtag reigning junk question, and we tend to save those for the end of the podcast. But you're new here, so I don't blame you.
It was directed toward me, so.
I know, but it's a reigning junk question. I was going to ask it to you.
God damn
you know
it. I forgot to put the junk in the trunk. next question.
Yeah, next question.
From Nets Pick and Chill. At that 80s pump, extremely hypothetical, extremely. What's the most you would give up to acquire LeBron James in a December 16th trade? We also have another one. This is kind of related from James McCarthy at Daddy Dusky. Do you see any scenario in which the Cavs lose Kyrie and LBJ before the season starts, given today's reports? So I'm going to just go ahead and say no. LeBron James has a no-trade clause. There is pretty much zero chance, I think, that LeBron James is playing anywhere else but Cleveland come the start of the season. Kyrie could absolutely be gone. Maybe it's likely that Kyrie is gone, but LeBron, I think, is going to stay in Cleveland. I don't think they're trading LeBron James. But if they did, December 16th trade, Sam, how much would you give up to acquire LeBron James?
Huh. Everyone on the roster? Like, it's LeBron James. He's the best player in basketball. I feel like whatever the maximum you can give up that's allowed in, like, a straight-up trade with given salaries and stuff like that. Would that be Al Horford's contract and some picks? Like, Gordon Hayward and some picks? That's the only thing that can really would I think, stop you from adding more to the deal. So, the real question is, how many first-round picks would you give up in addition to a star player or two? I don't know. I don't really know how the money would work just to get LeBron James on your team.
Yeah. So LeBron, that's a tough question for me, actually, because obviously LeBron James is the best player in basketball, obviously, or at least one of the top two or three. Obviously, if you get him, you have a chance at reaching the finals and winning the title. Obviously, like, he changes everything for your franchise. But, like, the Celtics are set up so well for so long. To give up a lot of that for a guy who can be a free agent 1 year from now and who has shown the willingness to leave his teams and teams that he's been with for a long time for a different situation. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't load up a lot, but I'd be very, 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 very focused on convincing LeBron James that Boston is the place for him and the place to win. And I'd spend the next however many months just wooing him and making sure that he wanted to stay. Because if you give up the farm for a guy who's with your team for 4 or 5 months, that's tough. That would be a tough hit, especially because, like, I don't know if the Celtics will ever win a title with their current core, but I do know that they should be very good or better than very good for a long time, unless something weird happens or unless they make a big mistake in the front office. And so LeBron James, he's unbelievable. He would maybe win the Celtics a title right now, maybe even more than that, probably win the Celtics a title right now. Not probably, because the Warriors are out there. But he would give the Celtics a much, much, much better chance at reaching the finals and eventually winning it. But he's a free agent. I'd be scared of it, and I'd still get him anyway, because, God damn it, he's LeBron James.
You'd have to think that if he's waiving his no trade clause, you would like have him long term. And then that's the other thing about it. It's like earlier with like the question about whether or not LeBron's leaving. I don't think LeBron is going to waive his no trade clause for anyone because he doesn't want to go to a team that has to give up the assets to get LeBron the next season. Like there's no way he's getting traded. So it's a, like they said, an extreme hypothetical.
Yep, he ain't getting traded. Unfortunately for the rest of the league, he ain't getting traded. So that's it. I think that's all we got. Is there any raining junk? Do you got any raining junk for us?
Oh, I got plenty of raining junk.
Oh, we got some junk to rain.
Again, from Ati Shepard, is Sully ever going to be an NBA player, or should he just try Europe or China?
He's just got to get in shape, man. That's it. That's all he's got to do.
Can he do that, or is he going to end up in China?
I mean, he can do it. It's up to him. If he gets in shape, he'll be back in the NBA as soon as he does that. It's all up to him. So I hope he comes back. He's certainly talented enough to come back. But if he wants to just go to China and make a couple million a year, there are worse lives out there.
Definitely. All right, this is from Enrique Banasek. Obvious Dancing Gino replacement would be a live dancing bear in stadium when Yabu is in the game, correct? And I have to say, I'm not, if you've been listening to the podcast, you'll have to know that I'm not the biggest Gino guy. Not because I didn't love him, especially in 2008, just because I feel like the players now don't really care. And then one of the coolest things about Gino was like how like Kevin Garnett just loved seeing Gino and like sat to watch it. If you look at any of the players now, they don't even really acknowledge it. So I'm all for a live bear in the stadium playing anytime Yabusele gets minutes. Sign me up for that one.
Anything that has to do with live bears, I'm in for. Is there like, could we get other animals involved? Could we get like a lion for Marcus Smart? Or like, I think there's a lot of ways we could go with this. You know, like you don't have to hold yourself to just a bear. Just, I think the Celtics should invade a zoo one of these days and really get.
I was going to say what you're just describing is playing a basketball game in a zoo.
I'm okay with it, man. Franklin Park Zoo, that the Celtics' new stadium. All right, let's get some more rain and junk.
There's not that much else on there. Well, let's see from Joe Cooprider at Coey Jupes. Can you rank the T station you go through from worst to best? Jay, do you have a daily commute or just hang out in your apartment all day watching YouTube clips from like games in the 1970s?
I'm a big walker when I can.
Oh, you're a walker guy. Eh?
But the T station I use most frequently is Mass Ave, and I'm okay with the Mass. I don't hate the T nearly as much as everyone else does, man. The Orange Line is cool with me. I could mess with the Mass Ave stop.
The Orange Line is the people's line, and people who complain about the T need to go to another city and realize that how good Boston have it. In Philadelphia, you could only pay for the train in like tokens, and you could buy like at the station you could buy a card, like a little paper card that would only work one way. They only had two lines. It was an atrocious situation.
Do not trust the Philly subway process.
Not whatsoever. To rank the stations I go through now, I really only go to Davis and Charles MGH. They're train stations. Porter Square is pretty cool because it's way below ground. And you get to ride some sweet escalators for a good 27 minutes. But about after that, I don't have much. Don't have much MBTA takes on me right now.
Yeah. Sorry we don't have many MBTA takes, man.
I'm working on it. I more judge the people on the MBTA than just the stations themselves.
Yeah, I'm a big people watcher when I can be. I think that's one of the best things you can do is just watch people, judge people, make fun of people in your mind. Don't do it to people's faces. You know, have a heart. Keep it inside. But inside,
here's the thing on the train though is that sometimes I see people and I want to make fun of them and I think, man, this would be something funny to tweet about. But then you're on the train and you don't want people like looking over and seeing like you're tweeting about the guy across the way. I don't know. It's an odd dynamic. So I've decided to hold back my mean tweets from the MBTA, but man, do I think a lot of bad things about people.
All right, we'll end it there with Sam Jam Packard.
I'm judging you. If you see me on the red line, I'm judging you.
Thinking a lot of bad things about people. That's it. That's it for this episode of the Locked On. Oh, wait. I've been out of the game. I've been out of the loop for a little while, man. So subscribe to us, iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever else. Search for Locked On Celtics. Give us 5 stars. And, yeah, that's it. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.